Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exist to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right. And if you would, go ahead and please grab your Bibles. Turn with me. Well, we'll be visiting several spots throughout Scripture. But my intent is to park out in Galatians chapter 4. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one in under the seats under you or around you. If you do not own a Bible, please help yourself to one off the back table as our gift for you. As we come to this season, I want to start us with a question. Why are we here this morning? Why do we celebrate Christmas more specifically? And the answer is a simple one, even if it's not easy. We're here this morning. We celebrate Christmas to celebrate that Jesus was born. As Finn so pointed out, Jesus' birthday is this week. Whether December 25th is the date that he was born, it's a day that we have historically and continually celebrated his date of birth. So that is what we do. And then that answer, why are we here to celebrate his birth, leads to two more questions that we should look at. The first is, well, who is or was Jesus, and why is his birth worth celebrating? Jesus is the true King of Kings. It says in Revelation chapter 19, 16, disciple John writes, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of King and Lord of Lords. So that is who Jesus is. And now there's only a few events in history that can legitimately claim to have changed the world. There's a lot of events that have changed moments in time or changed periods or whatever, but only a few events can honestly say that they have changed the world. Events that change the status quo, change the course of history. None of those events can even compare an influence or scope or size to the importance to the one that took place on that holy silent night 2,000 years ago. Most of the time when we look at Christmas, we look at the birth of Christ, we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's good. That's right, because that's where we see the stories that recorded his birth. We see the stories of him coming and being born. Charles Spurgeon once said, you only have to read the Gospels and look with willing eyes, and you shall behold in Christ all that can possibly be seen of God. But today, I want us to see that there are other scriptures that speak to the birth of Christ and the why and the importance of it as well. God had spent all of human history, all of his history even, building to this point. Early in the scriptures in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve fell from perfection and brought sin into the world, when man ruined their relationship with God, God promised to make it right. God already had a plan in place. And he spends the rest of the Old Testament reiterating this promise and showing through prophecy how this plan would be fulfilled. We see him building towards this moment in time. We see the gospel writers point out some of these prophecies as they write their gospel. Matthew often writes in his gospel something along the lines of, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. We see that often in there. There's over 350 instances in the Old Testament of the writers and the prophets pointing ahead towards the coming and the arrival of God's rescue plan. Mathematically, the odds are so great of those prophecies being fulfilled as they're practically impossible. There's no mathematical terms that it's possible for these prophecies to be fulfilled, and yet we see each and every one of them has been. And so we read our passage this morning. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He's writing, and he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That is a Christmas story right there. That holy silent night when Jesus Christ became God incarnate. As these songs that we sing, I love so many of these Christmas songs have such great theology in them, such a basis from Scripture. And some of them get some little pieces wrong. Jesus cried as a baby. I want you to know that. He did not stay silent as a baby. But the Christmas songs are rooted in doctrine. They're rooted in theology. They're rooted in the Scriptures. And we sang today, we worship God, Jesus, the incarnate deity. He is God become man. He came down from heaven as the Christ, as the Messiah. He was God's great rescue plan. An event that hadn't happened before, an event that will never happen again. An event that changed the course of history, and an event that changed the people who believed it and experienced it. Now, I know if you're not a follower of Christ, if He has not already changed your life, this sounds so completely fantastical. This isn't even, it's so far out there, it wouldn't even make a good movie because it's so far out of the realm of reality in our human wisdom and minds. That God physically came down from heaven and was born a baby human man. I know how it sounds, but if you look at the proof, if you look at the evidence and the history with open eyes, you will see the truth. First, God exists. And if He exists, then to be God, He must be all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present in all times and all places. What would otherwise be impossible with God is possible. Scripture says, through Christ all things are possible. That's not so that we can go out and win an athletic event or we can jump off a building and fly or whatever else we choose we want to do. It means that what God has determined will happen, no matter how impossible it is, that will happen. With Him, all things are possible. Some things that would normally be impossible. Jesus being both God and man. Him being born of a virgin. Performing the miracles that He did. Dying and raising from the dead. All things impossible, if not for being both God and man. There's controversy in many so-called Christian churches today about whether Jesus was God when He was here on earth. There's a story going around this past week of a church not too far from here praying. One of the people high up in the church, their young daughter died. And they were praying all week for God to resurrect their daughter from the dead. And which sounds fine on the surface, and who wouldn't want to pray that? God, bring her back, absolutely. But when you dig deeper into that, this church is not a church. This church is selling a sack full of lies, because one of their main doctrines is when Jesus was on earth, He was not God. Because if He was God, then those miracles He would have done meant nothing, because they would have been too easy. But because He wasn't God here on earth, then we should be able to do the same miracles that He did. And so they are selling false hope to their congregation that there's no reason why these things shouldn't happen. And so the reality that Jesus was both God and man is absolutely essential to our faith. God loves us. The Bible you hold in your hands, the Bible that is under your chairs, is a 66-book love letter that He wrote to us. And it says that even though we spit in His face and we openly rebel against Him and His gift of perfection and relationship with Him, despite the fact that we believe lies about Him, that we teach lies about Him, all of these different things, God wants to restore our relationship with Him. He wants to be able to forgive us from our sins, and He loves us, and He wants this so much that He sent His Son. He sent Him quietly as an innocent baby to grow up and to live a perfect life, to teach and to, yes, to be an example. But more importantly, to give His perfect life as a ransom for many. Most of the people on that day did not realize who Jesus was, that he was God as a man. Most people in the world today don't know who Jesus is, and that he is as he says he is in John 14:6. It says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus was born of a woman under the law. He's born under the same requirements that all of us are born under. He was born under the law. And unlike us, because he was God, because he was able to, he fulfilled the law. He did what we are unable to do. We cannot keep the law. We have zero ability to keep the law. Scripture is clear on this. There is none righteous. No, not one. We are sinners and we are born sinners. And this has separated us from God. But Jesus redeemed those of us from under the law through his fulfillment of the law. Jesus came silently. He came meekly. He came quietly, giving the world a chance to see who he is and to turn to him, to embrace him, and have God repair that relationship between us and him. But he will come back, and the next time it won't be silently. He will come back, but not as an innocent, helpless baby, as he did on Christmas morning, but as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. He will come to separate those who will spend eternity with him and those who will spend eternity without him. What you think of Jesus and who you think he is determines which of these groups you end up being in. So if you don't acknowledge who Jesus truly is, if you think he's this great guy who did miracles because he had a close relationship with God, that's not enough. He was God, and he was man. God became man to save sinners. You've heard me say that over and over the last couple of months, because it's been so important for us to hear that. God the Father gave his Son so that we might be called the sons of God. It is through Jesus Christ that we are redeemed to God and that we are saved from the consequences of our sins. It's printed in the wrong order. Sorry about that. Christianity, what we claim to be, Christians. It's the belief in, the worship of, and the following of Jesus Christ. This is inclusive in that all who are born into this world, everybody will be welcome through that door to heaven, the door that Jesus walked through in this direction to be here on earth. But there is only that one door, only one way to get into heaven, and it is through that door by way of Jesus Christ, God who became man, who physically, literally was born, who physically, literally died, and physically, literally rose from the dead to pay the punishments for our sins and our rebellion, to show that he was God, to show that this, that he was the way. It is only the knowledge and the faith in him and who he truly is that will restore our relationship with God and allow us to walk through that door. The door that was opened those 2,000 years ago by a baby being born in a manger. Timothy Keller has said, the world can't save itself. And that's the meaning of Christmas, or the message of Christmas. We can't save ourselves. The world can't save ourselves. With sin in this world, we are without hope. It's why hope is one of those candles there that we remember at Christmas. There is a hope that we have with Christ that we don't have otherwise. Without a Messiah, without a Savior, we are without hope. And without being the children, the descendants of Abraham, the line God chose to bless, we are without hope. But that night, 2,000 years ago, to an unmarried teenage mother, far away from home, through the line of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of David, of Solomon, of all those men and women that Matthew lists in his first words of the New Testament, that genealogy that we like to skip over. And it's so important. Through that line, the adopted and therefore legal son of Joseph, hope was born into this world. A hope that we could believe in. A hope that we can trust in. A hope that had been promised 4,000 years before that event that has been fulfilled and we continue to place our hope in even today. He was born a human baby, but he was so much more than that. He was God himself. Scriptures call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We sang about that today. God came down, became a man, and born into a world of sin, he remained sinless. He offered hope, not that we would remain sinless, but that God loved us enough to come down to us, to chase after us, to pursue us, so that despite our sin, we would be clothed in Christ's righteousness. We would be seen as innocent in God's eyes. We would be welcomed and adopted as his sons. He lived a perfect life so that when he was crucified, when his innocent blood was shed, it was not making an atonement for his sins, because he had no sin of his own, but it was to cover our sins. He then rose from the dead to show the result that the forgiveness of sins is eternal life with him, so that we could be called the sons of God. Amen. Paul writes just a few lines earlier, Galatians 3:26, he says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." John writes at the beginning of his gospel, John 1:12 and 13, says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." He promised that Savior back in Genesis 3. And after so many obstacles and so much spiritual warfare and persecution and exile and darkness and 4,000 years of people wondering when, Lord, then 2,000 years ago, in the fullness of time, at the time that God had determined before time existed, the Bible says it was at the fullness of time that Christ was born. Not too early, not too late. Not taking too long, not jumping the gun. Just at the right time, the Father sent his Son. Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, eternal God, one third of the Trinity. He lowered himself down, came down from heaven, was born a human baby boy, still fully God, now fully human. He was the one all the Old Testament guys were pointing towards. And where they failed, where the Old Testament people that people looked towards and pointed at and said, maybe him, as the people that we look to today, that we don't think about it in those terms, but who do we practically put our faith in? When we look at people in around us, in politicians and celebrities and in pastors and different people, we say, look at them. They must be who Scripture was pointing to. No, where they all fail, where each of us fail, where they sinned, Christ succeeded. He lived a perfect and righteous life. And it is because he was sinless that he was able to bridge that gap between God and humanity. He did. He paid the price for sin, nailed to the cross. He took the punishment for sin, but not his. He took ours. He says, repent. He says, turn from your sins. Turn to Jesus as both our Lord and our Savior. Believe in him. Trust in him. Accept the free gift of grace and accept the forgiveness that he has offered. Christ will clothe us with his righteousness, his perfect righteousness. And he will allow our relationship with God to be restored to what it is supposed to be. There really are only two choices. Only two options. They boil down again to who you think he is. Reject who the Bible says Jesus is. Reject the love of God, the gift of grace, the forgiveness of sins. Reject that knowledge that we need saving, then that there is only one who can give us salvation. Reject the fact that Jesus is God and man and was born a baby, and you will receive eternity without God. But accept those things. By grace, through faith in Christ alone, are we saved. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and today is the day of salvation. Amen. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone and his perfect righteousness, that we can't do it ourselves. Our good works don't do it. We can't do enough good works to earn any righteousness in front of God. It is only through the blood of Christ. He wants us to live forever with him. praising him, worshiping him, being in that relationship that we were originally created to be with him. And if you have not come to know him, today is the day to know him. Today, the day we celebrate his birth, the day we celebrate that he came to save us, his goodness and his grace. For those who have come to know Christ, we celebrate today. And in this day, we celebrate all that he accomplished through his earthly life and his ministry. He died and he rose again, and he will be coming back to put the final cap on all of the evil in this world. Christmas celebrates his first coming. We also use it to remember and to look forward to his second coming, where all things will be made right and new again. Yesterday was the winter solstice, the longest day of the year. And I saw this quote last night. It struck me how appropriate it is for us looking at Christmas specifically, but even our faith in Christ in general. And I want to leave you with this quote, and then I'll close us in prayer. It said, December 21st, winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. Every day of fall has been getting darker towards today. But tomorrow, it starts getting lighter. In tiny, tiny increments. But light is coming. It doesn't get any darker than today. Light is coming. Let us go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. And we don't honestly even truly know how to put into words how to thank you. You sent your Son. God became man. You did it because we couldn't do it on our own. You showed us your love, your mercy, your grace. You gave us this gift that we couldn't earn on our own. And we thank you. We celebrate it. And you are a good, holy Father. And today we celebrate you. We turn to you. We worship you. We sing these songs of praise to you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.